Friends, will you pray with me? Oh, God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning, we're going to do something that Christians really love doing, being about 3 years behind the popular discourse on pop culture. Today, that thing, that something we're behind on is the Barbie movie. For those of you who missed the 2023 fantasy comedy film, the arc of the plot goes like this. Barbie lives in Barbieland, a nation populated entirely by Barbies and Kens, but governed entirely by Barbies. It's presented as a bit of a utopia, and everything runs relatively smoothly until the main Barbie and the main Ken visit the United States of America. There, they learn about patriarchy and some of its impacts on people and society at large. Barbie thinks patriarchy is terrible. Ken thinks it's great and heads back to Barbieland to implement it right away. He puts the Kens in charge, brainwashes the Barbies, moves into Barbie's home, and sets up his Mojo Dojo Casa house as the center of power in a nation now governed entirely by Kens. This is meant to be interpreted as a terrible outcome, and the climax of the story involves the Barbies taking back their political and societal power and joyfully ruling Barbieland once again. In the context of this story, that's a happy resolution. And it is kind of. Any social system where one group of power of people with one particular external attribute hold the bulk of power is not great. Patriarchy, therefore, a social system where men hold primary power, authority, and privilege is not ideal. And nobody should be kicked out of their homes, and really and truly nobody should ever be brainwashed by the acoustic rendition of a Matchbox 20 song. But as a resolution to a story framed as a parable about our modern times, I confess that I find it pretty troubling. And I think that Mary's song can help us get at why. Mary's song. The song that she sings to her cousin Elizabeth in this morning's scripture, which Stephanie read so well, is a song about what God has done, is doing, and will do with folks with and without power over time. It's a song about people experiencing differences, seeing how the other sides live, and about what God hopes will happen after that. And I think that God's hope for us is better than things just going back to Barbieland. Here's what we know. Mary and Elizabeth are women in a society which prioritizes men. And on top of that, they're Jewish women in a society that prioritizes Roman citizens. Read through a lens of power and privilege, they then are people who are marginalized within an already marginalized group. Elizabeth adds the further societal disadvantage of her age, and Mary adds the further societal disadvantage of being pregnant and unmarried. These doubly and triply marginalized people are the people God picks to be the humans, the parents, the ancestors of Jesus and John the Baptist. These women, wholly on the outside of power, able to see and interpret oppressive systems in the ways only those on the margins can. These are the people God picks to sing and to remember a song about what God thinks, about how people with and without power can and should change. And what God thinks is this. People should experience wild reversals of fortune. experience what it is to know the opposite of what they have known, and have their hearts so broken open, so compassionately transformed by those experiences that structures of power are rewritten around mutual mercy and mutual loving relationships. What Mary sings, what Elizabeth remembers, what God thinks, is that for things to change, the place to start is for everyone to experience something other than the experience they're used to having. The people who fear God will receive mercy. The proud who think they know better than God will be scattered and isolated with no one able to understand or follow their plans. The powerful will know what it is to live among the powerless. The lowly will know the vagaries of power. The hungry will know what it is to eat until their bellies are full. And the rich will know the way that painful pangs of hunger make everything else fade into the background. We, with our late-stage capitalist lenses, tend to like to read this passage and think one day the powerful will get theirs. That might be what it's saying, but I don't think that it's all that it's saying. Because I think the way we read it, where the powerful getting theirs, only works if we think it is a sin to be poor, or if we think it's a moral failing to be hungry. If we read through a lens where power and wealth and goodness are so bound up with each other that separating them is almost impossible, we end up with a story that doesn't make sense. We need God's imagination to help us move beyond our own limited imaginings. God would have us know another's experience by knowing no less than living it with our own lives. And through that living, having our hearts broken open and minds be forever changed. What God promises, what Mary sings, what Elizabeth remembers, is that living a different kind of life, having experiences different than the ones we are used to having, hold within it the chance to change people so much that entire nations are rewritten. The Magnificat ends with these experiences of difference. The rich knowing what it is to be hungry, the hungry knowing what it is to be full, causing a material and structural change in the lives of the people, the whole people of God. For all the Israelites living under empire, a change that's rooted in two words. Words that we rightly translate as mercy and wrongly translate as aid. Eleos, they're both Greek words. Eleos does mean mercy, kindness or goodwill towards the afflicted, joined with a desire to help. But anti-lambano, where we say aid, it means to embrace, to hold fast to, or to be a partaker in the life of, which opens up the possibility that God might imagine for us a future of mutual care, where people so changed by experiencing another's life become so invested in the well-being of their siblings who know that life every day that they will not let each other go, preferring to rewrite structures of power than to abandon the ones we embrace. Mary sings of a different world, a world where once we know differently, we do differently. A world where rich and lowly, powerful and powerless know each other's lives so intimately and with so much compassion that we cannot return to what was, but must build a better world together. This, I think, is why the Barbie movie falls flat. Its best hope for Barbieland is to return to the status quo. To return to a social system where one group holds power, authority, and privilege, and the other group is subjugated to their will. The Magnificat says that the kind of role reversal that Barbie and Ken experience should fundamentally change them and their world for the better, should crack open their hearts with compassion, should produce an urge to embrace the one who knows a different way of life that is so strong it rewrites society. Rewrites society from the bottom up and the top down at the same time as all people race to hold one another close. Friends, our lives are obviously more complicated than Barbie Land. They're perhaps even more complicated than Mary's song. But we are not helpless in the face of structures of power. Many of us here have some facet of power or privilege available to us, have the capacity to choose to embrace something new, to live out God's invitation to embrace each other across our differences. Here at Old South, we can choose to go with Carolyn to make a friend at Common Cathedral, to go with Virginia and with Helen to worship with our siblings at Iglesia Hispania and be guests in a different house of God. We can visit Club Cafe with the Thursday night church band and sing Broadway standards in the Napoleon Room, or join Rory's small group and eat in a neighborhood we've never visited before. Boston is a city full of different ways to be alive. We have the privilege of access to a million ways for our hearts to break open to someone or something new. A million ways for our minds and hearts to change. The good news is that we can seek to live like Mary's song today. The better news is that there's someone in this room right now who longs to help us do it. Thanks be to God for the gift of the church. Amen.